I mean, I just met you, and I don't want to offend you or anything, but is kvetch a good way to describe your approach to this
life?
Book? To life.
Me? Are you calling me a kvetch?
Well, I'm just,
my
it's,
gosh.
It's, it's a heavy implication in the book that that might in fact be true.
You did read the book then, because yes, I am the queen of the kvetches, uh-huh. Not only of the road. Yes, absolutely.
Well, to explain to the uninitiated. What a kvetch is, it's someone who finds fault in pretty much everything.
Whining and complaining. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whining was one of your major hobbies.
Oh, it absolutely was. Yes. My favorite wine has always been, I want to go to Florida.
Oh, God, the old jokes. Mm-hmm. All right. Still the best jokes.
Yep.
Okay. What you did, in effect, you and your husband, is outfit a bus, a city-type bus, and take it on a tour. And the idea that you would even consider such a thing like that was amazing to me. And nothing in the book really suggests, except at the very end, that maybe, in fact, it was worth it. What do you think?
Yes. No, it was absolutely worth it. But my husband and I are both psychiatrists, and he came home several years ago. And just out of the blue, he announced that he wanted to travel the country in a converted bus. I, of course, being the kvetch, said, why can't you be like a normal husband in a midlife crisis and have an affair or buy a Corvette? And I informed him I would never, ever, ever live in a bus. Obviously, he's a much better psychiatrist than I am, because now we have Queen of the Road.
Uh-huh. Well, it seems to me that in spite of the persona that you project for yourself in this book, you were probably a little more flexible than you want to let on now for, you know, I mean, you do it for comic purposes in the book, but... Didn't something in the back of your mind say, this could be the coolest thing I ever did?
No. I will admit, though, that part of comedy, I think, is a bit of exaggeration and hyperbole. So perhaps, and because my husband is so wonderful, one would think he wouldn't have chosen a terrible kvetch to marry. But no, I really went into this thinking, look, I can survive anything for a year. This is someone who absolutely wants to do this. It's something he needs to do. He was really unhappy. I was perfectly content. And I thought, okay, I will do something for him just because he's the person I love. And I will go ahead and do this. But no, my goal was just to survive it. And we had all of these disasters. You know, we had a fire and a flood and an armed robbery. We found ourselves in a nudist RV park. So even in spite of all of that, in the end, it was worth it. It was a really life-changing trip. And what's amazing is now I'm the one advocating we sell our house and we live in the bus full time. And that's what we're planning to do.
Well, you know, some things, you know, you can't change unless you're exposed to something. Mm-hmm. Just for contrast, describe what your favorite day would have been pre-bus.
Let's see, pre-bus. Okay, I'd get up at around 9 a.m. I'd check some email. I'd answer some email. Maybe I'd make a couple of phone calls for my job, do a little bit of work. By then, it was 11 and time to get out of bed. Mm-hmm. So I would work out. And in between all that, I'd do a little bit of work. But my favorite thing in the world was to stay home in my pajamas.
And watch Oprah.
And watch Oprah. Well, you can only do that 1 hour a day.
Yeah. Drink coffee.
I'm fortunate. I can work at home, so I'd stay in my pajamas, work at home, often in bed with my laptop, and that was perfect for me.
So you say psychiatrist, but you weren't. Mm-hmm. Were you seeing patients?
No. I'm still licensed. I think in bed in my pajamas precluded that.
Worse things have happened.
This is true. Yeah. Yes. I do mainly insurance review work. Which was very convenient because I could work part-time on the road, and I did a little bit. My husband, though, was seeing patients. He was an administrator of a hospital, and that's part of why he got so incredibly burned out. His job was killing him. He was very unhappy. I was perfectly content. But I think looking back, I'd have to admit that my life had gotten very routine. There was a certain lack of inspiration. I think often, and I hear this a lot in my practice when I was seeing patients, that things are really stimulating when you're younger, you're going to school, you're learning new things, you're starting a new job, and then you get to where you want to be in life, and you finally have a chance to breathe, and you look around and you think, wow, is this all there is? So I think Tim didn't want to wait. He wanted to start living now. He'd always done everything right in his life at the right time, and he really wanted to do something out of the ordinary. I believe that everyone has their own inner bus. It doesn't have to be something so drastic like taking your year off like we did. But I think everybody can find something in them to just shake it up a bit, to add back that spark.
Well, you know, there are just two kinds of people in the world. Those people who think there are just two kinds of people in the world and those people who don't. But if you're going to use that false dichotomy, there are people who, for whom a bland, cooled out, contented, not too interesting or stimulating lifestyle is exactly what they seek the minute after they get out of college and sow their wild oats. That's what they want. They want to, you know, just ride on into the sunset. You were heading that way. What was it? Just to please your husband, or what, did you, you know, did you think of the possibilities?
No, I didn't think of the possibilities. Really, I just wanted to get through it. This was the first time in my life I did something so drastic for someone else, just because someone I loved needed me to. I mean, he really needed me to do this. And I thought, well, okay, you know,
I owe it to him at least.
I owe it to him. I can still do my work on the bus a little bit. I can survive this.
Okay.
But we did more than survive.
And also, you come from two different places culturally, and as far as you're bringing up, he's a Midwestern Protestant, and you're a Long Island Jewish girl.
Yep.
And it would seem to me that the fact that you met at all was probably amazing. Where'd you meet?
We met in residency, actually, in Tucson. And yeah, it's quite a culture shock for both of us. We've both learned quite a bit about our different cultures. And actually, during the bus year, we spent some time with my parents in Queens. And we also spent some time with Tim's dad in a very rural, tiny Van Buren, Arkansas, on his farm.
Oh, yes. The Arkansas trip was quite illuminating, wasn't it, in many ways?
It actually really was, yes. While we were there, one of Tim's cousins, cousin JT, got runned over by the tractor. So Tim, my psychiatrist husband, was called on to come and minister to JT. And of course, all I could think was, oh, great, I guess Tim can ask how JT feels about his near-death experience. But yeah.
Well, theoretically, your MD is if you're a psychiatrist,
yes,
right?
Yes, so, but we've been out of medical school.
Out of clinical medical stuff for a long time. Yeah.
You don't want to call a psychiatrist when you've been run over by the tractor.
By the tractor.
No, you really don't.
What was the most surprising thing to you about the culture of Arkansas? You mentioned a few things about it in the book. What, I mean, we're all fish out of water in various places in the country. What was the thing that most amazed you?
I think just that people visit so much. I mean, I grew up in Long Island and Queens, New York, around there. I mean, you keep your doors locked. You don't want somebody coming to your door. There, visiting is just a part of life. And I was thinking at the time I would find it very difficult because I'd be expected to be dressed every day in case somebody came a-visiting, and I'd be expected to get out of the house and visit them too. But it's very social. I mean, we spent a wonderful evening on someone's porch listening to bluegrass music that the neighbors were playing. They get together every week and do that. It's just a different way of life, and it was really wonderful to see and experience with my in-laws.
Yeah, you see, that's the thing about you that that comes out of the book is that whenever something hits you in the face as being desirable and a good thing, you recognize it.
Oh, thank you. I try to. You know, I really was pretty closed off when the trip started. But as I started seeing, you know, maybe this isn't so bad, maybe I might learn a few things, I think I was able to actually learn a few things in the end, as was my husband.
Why a bus?
Well, he is a guy. And I think he enjoys building things. You know, I call him
project nerd.
Yes, project nerd, domestic superhero, da-da-da-da.
Does he have a little suit with the Gotkiss on and everything?
Well, if he does, he's never shown
never
it to
shown
me.
It to you.
I'll look when I get home.
You should ask him. You never
I
know.
I should. Yeah. I don't think I want to know, honestly. So he enjoys building things. He enjoys designing things. So he wanted to start from scratch with something. And of course, after he did convince me to do this, I informed him very clearly, if you really want to do this, it ain't going to be no hippie bus. So we did trick out a nice big 40-foot bus, and we towed a little car, and it worked out wonderfully. It's great also to travel with your pets. I mean, we'd never done that before, and how wonderful.
Yeah, you had two cats and a dog.
Yes.
And cats are pretty resistant to change, and dogs just
like me
pretty much don't care.
Yeah.
You know, as
mm-hmm.
long as you feed them and you walk them and you pet them from time to time, mm-hmm. they don't care whether they're on a mountaintop or in a submarine, right?
Yeah, although, you know, dogs love car trips.
They do.
So this was just one big extended trip for the dog. And every day that we'd walk him, he got to see new people and smell new smells and get adored by new throngs. So he was in doggy heaven. One of the cats is very much like a dog, so he adapted very quickly. The other cat, I always called her the cat only a mother could love. She's a neurotic mess. It was kind of humiliating for two psychiatrists to have a cat like that. But
everybody's
I figured,
cat's neurotic.
Well, this one really, and I just figured, though, she can be just as neurotic on the bus as she'll be at home. But what was amazing is that both cats, who hated each other, actually came to an accommodation on the bus. I think what was incredible is that all of us changed during the trip, except perhaps the standard poodle, and that's just because standard poodles, of course, are perfect to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dogs are dogs. Mm-hmm. It's simple as that.
Yep.
And poodles are smart.
Yes.